Welcome to the deep dive.
Okay.
Today we are really wading into the trenches, you know, family life stuff. We're tackling one of those issues that just drains your energy as a parent. Kids arguing constantly.
Yeah.
If you feel like, I don't know, half your day is just defending simple instructions or refereeing that back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Well, you get it. This is for you. We've got a really great resource to unpack today. It's from Dr. Scott Charansky's video course, and it focuses on this heart-based approach to parenting, specifically the lesson called Don't Take the Bait, Training Instead of Engaging When Kids Argue.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission here isn't just like quick fixes to make the arguing stop for 5 minutes. We want to pull out the strategies to actually build character, get past just managing behavior.
Yeah, exactly. And that shift from just behavior management to real character work, that's everything. This whole philosophy really hangs on what we call the heart-based approach.
Mm.
And step one is kind of rethinking what we even mean by heart.
Right, because usually we think heart, we think feelings, emotions, that kind of thing. But this approach, it defines it much more broadly, doesn't it?
It does. The heart isn't just, you know, the fluffy emotional center. Think of it more like the central processing unit of a person, your
mm-hmm.
CPU. It's where your decisions get made, your motives form, where those long-term patterns really get set. It's running the whole show.
And it's interesting. The source material points out how often this idea pops up. Like the word heart is used, what, like 750 times in scripture that way?
Yeah.
Meaning like the core of intention and decision, not just, you know, Valentine's Day stuff.
Right. It really underscores that if we want lasting change, we have to work at that core level, the behavior we see, the arguing, the whining, whatever it is. That's just the output. It's the data stream coming from that CPU.
Okay, so if we're aiming for the heart, the CPU,
mm-hmm.
we need to look for tendencies, not just like one-off incidents. That feels important.
Yeah.
Because you might stop a three-year-old running away once, but if that underlying, I don't know, self-will tendency isn't addressed, it just pops up later.
Yeah.
Maybe as like a 13-year-old being dishonest or something.
That's exactly it. It's why, you know, there's that wisdom saying, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Arguing is just a really clear signal that the heart is full of something else. Maybe opposition, maybe self-will.
Okay, so if behavior is just the symptom and we want to do training that hits the heart, the CPU, how do we know we're doing that? Like, how do we distinguish real heart-level training from just, you know, surface-level punishment that gets temporary quiet?
That's a great question. Because, look, getting compliance, getting them to stop right now, that feels good for the parent, right? Instant fix. But it's the training that builds the long-term skills. And you know training is working when the child starts to internalize the why, when they feel actual remorse or maybe a desire to make a better choice next time, not just, uh-oh, I might get caught. If you only use rules and consequences, yeah, you might stop the noise for a bit. But you haven't equipped them, you know, haven't given them the skills to handle disappointment or follow instructions when they don't want to.
Right, okay. That leads us straight to the behavior itself. Arguing. If it's a symptom, we need to nail down what exactly we're talking about. What is arguing in this specific context?
So the definition we're using here is pretty focused. Arguing is using logic, emotion, and repeated attempts, specifically to persuade or control someone else's decision. It's that deliberate, ongoing push to overturn authority or get your way.
And you feel that immediately, don't you?
Yeah.
That battle-like mentality the source mentions. The tension just skyrockets.
It's that tug of war. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The child essentially puts themselves against the parent, and boom, there goes the closeness. When every little thing turns into a debate, the relationship just starts to fray.
Okay, but here's the twist, the parts that really made me pause. Arguing isn't always coming from a place of, like, deep character flaws.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's actually good qualities being misused, or maybe just overused. And we don't want to stomp those out. We need to redirect them somehow.
Yes, absolutely critical point. Think about what makes someone persuasive or determined as an adult. We want some of those underlying skills. The source actually highlights four positive qualities that often get twisted into arguing. First, the child is trying to use logic. They're trying to solve a problem. That's good. Second, they're practicing initiative. They see something they want or don't want, and they act. Third, they show perseverance, that doggedness the course talks about, stick-to-itiveness. And fourth, it often reflects passion. They care deeply about something.
Okay, those are all things we value, right?
Yeah.
Like, if my kid is arguing passionately because he really wants 5 more minutes for his Lego project before cleanup, I don't want to crush that passion or that doggedness. So how do you preserve the good stuff but stop the arguing?
You draw the line. You help them see the difference between using perseverance for a task, like finishing Legos,
mm-hmm.
and using perseverance to control or manipulate a relationship or defy authority. That's where it crosses over.
So when does that healthy passion or logic turn toxic? What are the red flags, the danger signs that tell us it's crossed the line?
Yeah, it becomes a misuse of problem when you see these four things happening. One, they misuse emotion, tears, yelling, dramatic sighs, using feelings as a weapon. Two, the relationship gets devalued. The parent isn't a person anymore. They're just an obstacle to overcome, a mountain to tunnel through. Three, it becomes all about self-will, pure selfishness, my way, my timing, my desire. And fourth, it just becomes clearly manipulative. You can feel them trying to angle or pressure you.
Got it. So the big indicators are when winning the point, whatever it is, becomes way more important than the actual relationship. When they stop listening and just keep pushing their own agenda, the issue matters more than the connection.
That's the moment. Yeah. And that's when you realize, okay, we need a plan here, not just reacting in the moment. And for that plan to actually work on the heart level, it needs two parts. There's a plan for the parent. That's our strategy. And then there's a plan for the child, the new pattern, the new tendency we want to train in.
And the argument itself, it's like it presents this choice to the parent, right? Every single time. You can either jump in and try to control the moment, you know, win the argument, get compliance now, which often just builds resentment. Or you could step back and see it as a chance to train the heart, build character. But that second option, it takes serious self-control from us, the parents.
Huge self-control, because it requires internalizing that core truth. It takes two to argue, but only one to stop. And let's be honest, how often do we realize we're in an argument like 5 minutes too late? We get sucked in trying to explain, trying to be reasonable, answer the why, and suddenly we're just defending ourselves against manipulation or delay tactics.
Oh, totally. It's so easy to take the bait. I know I've done it. You want to prove your point. You want them to understand why you're right. And 15 minutes later, everyone's just frustrated and exhausted. So how does the parent actually stop themselves? How do you halt that escalation?
The key is the pause, that internal recognition. Wait a second. This isn't productive anymore. This is arguing. The moment you sense that shift, you have to interrupt the pattern. The source suggests having some go-to phrases ready. Like, if you're caught in that negotiation loop, just stop it cold. Wait a minute, we're arguing. We're going to stop this conversation now. Full stop.
It sets a clear boundary. No more fuel on that fire.
Exactly. Or if the argument is pushback against an instruction, the line might be, you need to obey first, and then we can talk about it later. The point is, the parent refuses to let the conversation be used as a weapon for delay or defiance. And this isn't just, you know, a modern parenting hack. It aligns with that timeless wisdom about avoiding foolish and stupid arguments because they just breed quarrels. We refuse to get pulled down into that pit.
Okay, stopping it in the moment is crucial. But let's talk long game. For families where arguing is like a really ingrained pattern, a major tendency, refusing the bait is step one. But the source gives this four-step strategy for tackling the deeper root issue, right?
Yes. These are the tools for actually changing the heart tendency, not just putting a lid on it. First one is visioning. This basically means having a family meeting, not when things are heated, but calmly. You explain the why behind the change. Hey team, we've noticed arguing is creating a lot of tension. We want more cooperation and closeness, so we're going to stop engaging in arguments.
And the goal there isn't necessarily to get the kids to agree or like it,
right?
It's about positioning the parent. What does that mean exactly?
It means you're establishing the family standard. You're the leader defining the culture. You're saying, this is how our family is going to operate going forward. They might grumble. They might even try to argue about the new rule about arguing. But the point is clarity. They know the expectation has changed. You're not negotiating the standard. You're announcing it.
Okay, got it. Declaring the new normal. So after visioning, the second tool is practice.
Right. Now, every single time arguing pops up, it's not just a frustrating moment. It's an opportunity. An opportunity to practice the new way, which leads directly to the third tool, correction. And this isn't just saying stop arguing. It's actively pointing them toward the right thing they should be doing instead. We have to give them the positive alternative.
Okay. And that leads to the fourth tool, affirmation. This is about reinforcing the change.
Yes. And crucially, affirming the heart change, not just the absence of the bad behavior. So instead of just, hey, good job not arguing about screen time, which is okay, try something deeper like, wow, I really noticed you handled that disappointment about screen time without arguing. That shows me you're developing real self-control and sensitivity to keeping peace in the family. You're naming the positive character trait you see growing. That anchors it.
Okay, let's get really specific now about those right things, those positive alternatives. The material breaks down arguing into three common situations, or arenas, where kids tend to struggle with this self-will thing.
Right. Arena number one. Probably the most frequent battleground. Hearing a no answer, this is where you get the whining, the complaining, the but why, the endless negotiation attempts when a limit is set.
And learning to handle no is so fundamental, isn't it? It forces them to actually deal with disappointment internally.
It's essential. It teaches resilience, emotional regulation, basically how to live in the real world where you don't always get what you want. Life has limits, budgets, rules, physics. Arguing against a simple no is like arguing with reality itself.
So what's the specific replacement response we teach them? The positive alternative to arguing when they hear no?
We teach them a script that acknowledges the feeling but demonstrates acceptance and self-management. It's simple but really effective. I'm disappointed, but I'll be okay. And the source says this works from little toddlers all the way up through teenagers. It gives them words to process the feeling without attacking the limit. Even good for us adults sometimes.
Oh, probably true. Okay, life skill unlocked. Arena number two. Being asked to do something they don't want to do. This is the classic chore time struggle, right? The delay tactics, the excuses, the sighs, the tude.
Exactly. The heart issue here is about cooperation and submission to legitimate authority. It's about learning to pause your own agenda, like finishing a game or watching a show, to follow a parent's instruction. The arguing here often looks like resistance or delay, not necessarily a direct verbal fight. We want to teach them that sometimes obedience needs to come first without a debate.
So the replacement response needs to be quick, clear, and indicate acceptance.
Precisely. The trained replacement response is simply, okay, mom, dad, that's it. Sit immediately, hopefully cheerfully, or at least neutrally. No follow-up but or why. Once they've obeyed, then maybe there's room for a respectful conversation later, if needed. But the relationship and the respect for authority come first.
Okay, final arena. Arena three. And this one feels like it hits right at the core of moral development. When a child is corrected, this is where you get the instant denial, the finger-pointing, the blame-shifting, the defending. He started it. I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, this is a critical moment for character building. And honestly, parents often make it worse without realizing it. We ask questions like, who started it? Which just invites tattling and blaming. Or the classic, why did you do that? Okay, think about it. When you ask a kid, why did you hit your sister? Huh? They probably don't have a clue about their complex inner motives. They just grab the first excuse that comes to mind. It practically forces them to defend themselves, not take responsibility.
Right. So we need to shift the focus away from justification and towards owning their part, towards, like, confession.
Exactly. We need a question that gently guides them to look inward. The source suggests a single powerful replacement question when correcting, what did you do wrong?
Wow. Okay. That gets right through the excuses, doesn't it?
Right.
It forces them gently to identify their own contribution to the problem. They can't just blame someone else or the situation. They have to name their own action or attitude.
It puts the responsibility squarely back on them. It builds that internal muscle of moral awareness, of humility. Getting a child to the point where they can say, I was wrong when I snatched that toy, or I was wrong when I used that tone, that's a huge win for character. Way better than just getting them to stop making noise.
Okay, this has been, wow, really practical. A great deep dive. So, the big takeaway seems to be, arguing isn't just annoying noise, it's a pattern. It signals deeper heart tendencies, usually towards self-will or opposing authority. And using a heart-based plan with these tools and replacement responses isn't just about stopping the arguments. It's about intentionally building character, teaching real-life skills like resilience, cooperation, humility, confession.
That's the core of it. And maybe one final thought to leave you chewing on, something that really connects the parent's role back to the child's growth. Perhaps the most challenging but also most profound insight here is this. The parent's ability to stop their own participation in the argument. That is the absolute foundation. That's what makes it possible to teach the child the self-control needed for those replacement responses.
Yeah. If I, as the parent, keep taking the bait because I want that immediate win, that feeling of control, how can I expect my child to learn the much harder skill of handling disappointment gracefully or submitting willingly? It really has to start with us modeling that self-control, choosing training over winning the fight.
Every single time. It's that daily choice to model the very character we hope to cultivate.
Well, this is definitely food for thought. You can find out more about Dr. Taransky's full course. It's called How a Heart-Based Approach Changes Everything over at biblicalparenting.org. Thanks so much for digging into this with us today. We'll catch you next time for the next deep dive.